Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the PBC Chat Roundup. In today's episode, we have Julie taking us on a very interesting topic, I definitely think, called Explaining Confusing and Confounding Things in PPC. So yeah, it's if you've not realized that things are changing like almost sometimes by the minute in our paid search world right now, under what rock have you been hiding? And so we pretty much talk about, you know, how we explain those things, like, you know, and whether we find that there's more to explain now than before, you know, how we do them, which ad platforms are having the most confusing changes and that kind of things. I think the most latest one that we had was the whole Google Ads and their prominence feature, which is like an indicator for us as to whether our ad copy is good or not. And I even had a one-on-one chat with Ginny herself, and she was explaining to me what ad formats are, because that was one that was still making me scratch my head. If you want to know what that is, DM me and I'll let you know, because I don't want to cause any more confusion on a mass basis and get people saying, oh, Anu said on a podcast, and getting people saying that I'm spreading misinformation. So if you want my ideas on what ad formats are, DM me, yeah, contact me on the PBC Chat Slack, or like, you know, find me on Twitter or on LinkedIn. And yes, I'm more on Twitter these days. So yeah, that's interesting. So very interesting conversation, talking about the changes and how we are dealing with them with our clients. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the feedback, the experts' discussions about this today, because there was lots to go through, even though there were only three questions, and it made for a very interesting chat. So yeah, I hope you sit back and enjoy. Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup, a podcast where I round up the Slack discussion that happens on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. GMT. I'm your host, Anu, and I'm recording from my studio here in London, UK, and I use this platform to share not just expert, but also my ideas and considered best practices about paid media and the direction the digital industry is going in. So if you want to keep up to date with my tips and tricks in the industry and get the latest on the podcast that has been called your go-to, if you don't make it to the PPC Chat live discussions, and even if you do, then like, follow, share, and retweet on, that's right, Twitter, because I am fully back on Twitter this week especially. So get me on Twitter, but you can also find me on LinkedIn. Just look for my profile name, Anu Adegbola, or search for The Marketing Anu as well on both Twitter and on LinkedIn. You can find me on The Marketing Anu, or join us in our LinkedIn group, which is the PPC Chat Roundup, or even on Instagram. Why don't you check us out at PPC Chat _ Roundup to get quotes and snippets from our previous episodes. So yeah, we're going to be talking about how we explain the different changes that, you know, and confounding and confusing changes that we have to our clients. So we're talking about explaining confusing and confounding things in PPC to clients, to potentials, you know, prospects, you know, and pitching. You might want to talk about, yeah, well, you know, the things, the updates in the latest in PPC that has been happening and how it'll affect them and this kind of thing. So yeah, we talk about all of that. And as I said, only three questions, but loads of answers were given. Don't think that this is going to be a short episode. In fact, I might need to cut out some answers. But as we know, this is a roundup, and as usual, so it might not be the full, all the answers given. But before we get into the questions, as usual, Julie goes, this chat is intended for PPC professionals of all levels. So if you have something you want to share, please do. We are a friendly and supportive community. Please don't be afraid to participate. And also remember, yeah, as if you you can get into the Slack channels, into the PPC Chat Slack channel, specifically in the PPC Chat Slack group. That's where the conversations are happening. So you can see the questions and answers that we're given. But if you don't have time for that and you just want to listen to me give you a roundup of what was shared, then thank you for joining us on another week. And yeah, I hope you sit back and enjoy. So let's get straight into it. Julie first asks, do you feel like there are more, less, or the same amount of things you have to explain to clients and stakeholders about PPC today than in the past? Now, for me, I feel that there's been a lot. I think where before it was about 25%, it's now jumped to at least 75% of our job being about explaining what is changing, because things are changing so much. And yeah, I think it's also much more about the difficulty you know, and how quickly we can get to the clients, how quickly we need to do the whole training, because it does take us a while, even for us as paid search managers and experts, to get it ourselves, to get what the change means for our clients, would get whether there has been a significant change here or not, you know. So yeah, but you also don't want to, you want to avoid the client panicking, you know, and seeing the update and going, oh my God, should we be doing this? Shouldn't we be doing that? You always want to feel like you're on top of things, like with mistakes. When you make mistakes, you don't want to hide it under, you know, hide it under the carpet and shrug it off. You want to be at the forefront of it, be the one that goes to client, yes, we've noticed this mistake. We've noticed that something's gone wrong. This is what we're doing to deal with it. But it's really hard to have that conversations when there's so many new things coming out from Google and you're not always sure what the change means for the client. And Reva Minkoff as well then goes, I feel like there's a lot more to explain and there aren't as good explanations. It's a lot more trust the AI versus a concrete formula you can explain. That is so true as well. Julie as well says, yeah, I definitely feel like there's a lot more to explain lately because so much is changing and changing quickly. The changes are also quite seismic. So seismic, like earthquakes, and challenge the foundation of things we have told clients or how we have explained things in the past. So that makes it harder to explain in ways that clients both get and fully accept. Sarah Steeman goes, yeah, it feels like Groundhog Day for 15 years when it comes to certain things like attribution, for example, with other questions. The explanations are more challenging because a lot of people think they know a lot about Google Ads versus in the old days. Today, we are constantly busting myths. Nothing like someone who did their own AdWords 10 years ago telling you how to do it, all right? Julia Vice goes, yeah, I think there's a lot, but I don't know if it's more than before. The subject matter is a lot more on how Google is different now and not what they may expect, rather than why does my CTR matter and how do you set up conversion tracking? And Neville Hopkins as well goes, yeah, I feel like it's the same but different. Today's PPC conversations are much more tied to real value as they should be, as well as understanding customer personas so we can do our best to make buckets of prospects to go with looser targeting, keywords, and audiences. Boris Becker goes, same but different. Feels like it's less about the how-to tactical stuff and more about change and how it applies to them. So yeah, Nava goes, the why behind the how. So that's the how the conversation is shifting. Arijit responds saying, yeah, since keyword-less campaigns are like mysterious black boxes for information, we need to explain more about how advertising works. And now with GA4 in the picture, discussing attribution and events takes more effort than it used to. Julia Vice as well responds saying, yeah, the same but different t-shirts shipping soon. Wear them with our It Depends hats, right? Same but different. Same but different. I feel like that was when I went to Thailand. That was a very common phrase. Anyone who's gone to Asia, you'll know that that's said a lot. Same but different. Julia responds as well saying, to be fair, a lot of the how is now behind the AI and machine learning curtain. And that in and of itself is a giant change. Clients who have been advertising for some time are used to getting more concrete answers than we can provide now. Getting them comfortable-ish with that is a big task. Ali Mehdi responds saying, more today. Expectations from clients who aren't aware about it are simple. Run the ads, spend money, get revenue. And you have to explain a lot more about the importance of structures, pixels, data collection, audience list, landing page optimization, objective of spending, messaging, etc. The most uncomfortable place to be in where we are telling the clients to fix the page first repeatedly and all they want is to run the ads and spend money. I had to go through a decent sized account and they were running on firing a pixel on thank you pages without values. That's it. That was all the tracking in place since last 2-3 years and we had to scale 10 times from here. Wow. James Bobodian responds, so yeah, behind the AI on machine learning curtain, so true. Makes it difficult to discuss metrics, strategies and the levers we pull. And then Sam Tomlinson responds saying, I think there are fewer topics, but the level of nuance, complexity and misunderstandings about those topics is far, far more. Neville Hopkins goes, yeah, my husband gave me a sanity check when I explained how the algorithm worked for Facebook. I don't care. The monkey screaming as it punches banana muffins in my head is more interesting. How is only interesting to those who have to do it? Why is where the dollars focus is for decision makers? River goes, there's a lot lot of new things that keeps changing. River, and then she continues, I was talking to prospective clients last night who seemed pretty knowledgeable about Google Ads and was asking about search ads, and I mentioned PMax, and he was like, wait, what? What's that? Oh my Lord, he doesn't know what PMax is. Ooh, interesting. James Verboda responds to Sam saying, yeah, great point. It's been a difficult shift for some clients, mostly used to run their own AdWords, to lean into automation and AI bidding. The days of, I only want to spend X dollars CPC and show up here, are gone. Sam goes, yeah, part of the confusion is that is the fact that evolution is happening inside of legacy structures. It's easier to explain, in my opinion, PMax plus demand gen, and it's far more difficult to explain and foster understanding of how things that used to mean one thing now mean something else. Sam goes, there's also the gurus plus day trading PPC mentality that is largely dead, except what it isn't. Julia Vice goes, yeah, that's my experience too. The folks just now getting their minds around search are very open to new products versus changes to old ones. Julie goes to, yeah, response to James as well, saying, add to that, digital ad platforms are mature advertising ecosystem, and it gets even hairier. You can't do the things you could 10 years ago. It literally does not work the way it does. Lots of conversations, lots of conversions or sales from cheap clicks is nostalgia. Robert Brady goes, yeah, the digital ad industry has always had a rapid pace of change, especially compared to other industries. So client education has always been part of it. Part of my frustration is that platforms intentionally obfuscate information. So whereas I could use data to explain things in the past, more and more I have to explain things without that concrete data. So yeah, it really sounds like we are giving our explanation, you know, based on what we'd like it to be. And when it's actually from our experience, from what we've seen when we actually had more data, and because we can actually not show the current data in its current form and what it's actually truly saying, it sounds like we're just picking reasons from the air when we're actually picking it from our long-term experience. So yeah, so he was like, I could use data to explain things in the past. More and more, I have to explain things without that concrete data. That's so true. Boris Beckwith goes, yeah, just go to the thread of PPC within, that's Quora, I believe, that where they go, are the topic of PPC, where they will ask about what is working in ad arbitrage. Nava as well goes, yeah, I think folks get stuck in the habit of how to think or describe the thing. It's not that the data is harder to explain, it just requires a new way of thinking. Julie goes, the data and explanations are a lot squishier now, though. You can't see or access the level of data you historically could, and that can be hard for clients to accept. That piece is a big challenge to get through. It definitely is. Sam goes, the problem is that the ad arbitrage bros, sorry, not sorry, are so focused on the arbitrage trees that they miss evolution of the forest. They miss the evolution of the forest. The reality is that the relative value of arbitrage is declining. That's what platform's evolutions fundamentally do. It makes the market even more efficient. Client, and Julie goes, clients generally are not up to their eyeballs in what is happening and changing. Their understanding and thinking is tied to what they know. We have to keep that knowledge up to date so that their mindset is in line with how it all works today. River goes, and in some places, the data simply isn't available anymore. Or if it is, the formula or for how it was put together isn't available. See reduced SQRs, prominence, etc. Nava goes, only if you forced hard number conversions. That's the biggest shift we have to be prepared to make. Telling clients we can't give them hard numbers. And Julie goes, totally. Getting them out of that mindset can be very hard though. Sam goes, I feel like the hard numbers were never real. It was always probabilistic. Oh God. It was always probabilistic. We're not having to make that explicit. It's a backtracking of sorts that needs to happen. River goes, right, but a lot of their CEOs and boards need and expect hard numbers, or they think they're being BS'd. It's not valid. So yeah, do we start just making those numbers up? Do we tell them that the numbers we had before were all false anyway? It's literally Google putting us in between, you know, a rock and a hard place even. Boris Beckwith goes, yeah, I was about to write something long about attribution and all that and how we always told clients something that was never real. Right. So basically just, you know, repeating what Sam, well, agreeing with what Sam is saying even. And yeah, Julie goes, yeah, to Sam, but it was sold as being very real. And the number one reason to put dollars into digital ads was the huge data it generated and you could see and use it. That is what we are now having to unwind. And absolutely, it's like literally we were sold that it was real data. Because it wasn't real data and because we didn't know, it's not our fault. Google sold it to us as real data. Julia Vice goes, yes, it's the big argument about taking TV budgets and putting them online. You can measure it. Nava goes, it's our job to unsell them on it, especially from a compliance and cost perspective. Ah, oh, yeah, but how annoying. Sam goes, I'm not disagreeing about how it was sold. It's spilt milk under the bridge at this point. The reality is we have to unwind it and help clients understand that digital marketing at its core is still marketing. The same principles apply to digital and there are clear advantages in terms of data, but nothing happens in a vacuum. Nava goes, most brands would rather percentage lift reports than a huge fine for breaking privacy regulations. I think we're finally getting to the point where the on-the-ground technical reality of MMMs has caught up with the digital marketing hype, which is kind of cool. We then go on to question two, where Julie asks, what are you explaining most frequently these days? Boris Beckwith goes, less changes equals to deliberate. Importance of work outside the ad platforms and the big ones control the input structure, consolidation, tracking, first party data, feeds, audiences. Julia Vice goes, I feel like everything I do is a special case. I just had to explain to a new client contact last week that Google won't help you with your SEO. Luckily, I can. Lord, they think Google is going to help you with the SEO, right? Sam Tomlinson goes, yeah, how smart bidding works plus what you need to do to make it work. Nava Hopkins goes, my most common conversations are around learning periods, bid to budget ratio, and the need for more visual content. And then we have Sam Tomlinson responding, yeah, saying also why so many things people have read on Neil Patel plus RPPC and what people think they know is wrong or misguided or incomplete. There's also the transition from activity to results. Change logs are no longer a true indicator of how effective something is. Day trading PPC doesn't work, but teaching clients that batched changes plus strategic guidance is better than, oh my God, manual keywords management is difficult. Or leads to, oh my God, manual keyword management is difficult even. Julie goes, yeah, I say this is how that works now a lot, particularly for advertisers who have been advertising for years now, but if I had to pick a theme, it would be less visibility of data, followed by how to best feed the machines to get where you want to go, because that's different from how we used to seed the platform. James Bodig, yeah, responds to how smart bidding works plus what you need to do to make it work, and just says, so just as Sam said. Gillian Phillips goes, I'm embarrassed to say, but I found myself explaining that if clients don't have conversion tracking, I can't make them look good in their meetings. There are others, but this one just sends me down a spiral, I imagine is what he's thinking. Julie goes, I'm talking a lot about the post-ad click experience now too. Always been important, but matters even more now with machines leveling out the pre-click side of the equation. Natasha goes, yeah, enhanced conversions and consent mode. Sarah Steeman goes, it's only been a week. It's a big one. Two, a winning PPC strategy won't sell a product no one wants. And $2,500 is too low for SaaS. And that was three. Ali Mehdi responds saying, biggest levers to pull are outside the ad platform, synchronize and pass back as much data as possible. Tim Halloran responds saying, variability of learning periods based on conversion volume and daily budgets. How to adjust things without tripping large resets. The importance of first party data and why we need to feed it back into Google Ads, Facebook to improve campaign performance. Related to that, how to do it and what data we need to access to do it. And then, yeah, Julie as well says a lot of mediocre web experiences coasted by before the age of automated bidding and machine learning. And Jillian goes, and yeah, if we're not careful, we become the not so fun person of the party for critiquing a website or offering. Another pain of mine is finding out that website changes were made after the fact. It pisses me off to be going down rabbit holes about why ad performance drops off only to find out that changes were made without involving me. And Jilly Gale, he goes to Jilly and saying, "You mean telling them their baby is ugly?" Jilly Rice goes, "Just stealing that for my next team meeting." Jilly and Philip goes, "Yeah, ugly baby syndrome is real." And yeah, Jilly goes, "I'm continually astonished at how many organizations really don't want to take an honest look at their website itself and also how it comes off versus their competitors." And to our last question, but the one that was most answered in this chat, Julie then asks, which ad platforms are the most confusing or confounding to have to explain to clients or stakeholders lately? What has been the most confusing or confounding element you've had to explain recently? Julian Phillips, GA4 at the top of his lungs. James Verboda goes, all or most platforms, automated bidding and audiences, keywords, privacy issues. Sam Tomlinson goes, yeah, I think Google has caused the most confusion as a result, them continually re-engineering inside their legacy structure. GA4 is like beef tartare. If it's prepared properly, it's delicious, though not intended for everyone. If it's not made right, enjoy your time in hospital. Ooh. Nava goes, yeah, Meta, Google is easy. They may not like that we can't be as exact, but the core is the same, slips of the tongue notwithstanding. Microsoft has been pretty great too. Julian Philip goes, so you're saying that we should jump into Meta hell, then come back to Google heaven for perspective. That's amazing way to put it, Jillian. James Abode goes to Navago, yeah, great perspective. Even though we don't have as much data and transparency, Google and Microsoft have some good things going. Jillian Vice goes, snap, their account builder is weird and confusing, and explaining the need for a different account for an auction versus managed buy in TikTok is weird, but mostly Google and how to mind read it. Julia as well says, I primarily work in Google Ads these days, so my perspective is based for them and GA4. I wish they could hire me to help with comms, though, to stop some of the confusion that they unnecessarily create. The emails that everyone on the accounts get would be fantastic place, will be a fantastic place to start. Team Halloran goes, Facebook's been giving me a run for my money. I'll have an LLA stack working wonders, and then the very next month, lookalikes will stop working, and then Advantage Plus takes off and starts working. Then it'll shift again, and interest stacks will work, and Advantage Plus stops working. It's like whack-a-mole, but for paid social strategy. I haven't cracked the code yet. I think that partially has to do with Facebook changing things up in real time. In their defense, I think they're doing what they can to make their ad product better and more competitive, but it definitely makes my job harder. Sam goes, I feel like Meta has always been semi-opaque, so clients are more understanding of that. Sam goes, yeah, Google got their start after being wildly transparent, search terms, exact match, ETAs, etc. When they change that, it creates a new distribution of understanding plus comfortability. Ali goes, yeah, when Meta works, it does work wonders. When does it work? Julie goes, Meta is experiencing the mature advertising ecosystem problem I was talking about earlier. You can't jump in and find quick success. Competition is much higher and they are continually changing how it works, which all platforms evolve how they work, but it has seemed extra painful over there. And then, yeah, we've got Navagos. Yeah, but the reason I bring this up, you know, in terms of, yeah, Facebook not being as good as Google, especially, is that I feel like part of our job as practitioners is to help our clients personify the channels so they set realistic expectations and react accordingly when they make announcement. Google's thing with ad strength only became a thing because we're so used to taking what they say seriously. Julie goes, yeah, 2024 is the year of expectation resetting in PPC for sure. Yeah, reset your expectations of Google. Julie goes, yeah, to Navago, and I think the testimony in the antitrust trial has left stink on Google Ads too, particularly when it comes to what they say. And then, yeah, James Babuda as well saying, yep, used to consider them on this side of really wanting to help advertisers through the use of AdWords, not so much anymore. And then Julie goes, aren't we all going to be running broad everything everywhere soon enough anyway? That is where all the platforms are headed. Yeah, then I put a poll. Actually makes me think of the poll I put up on today on LinkedIn as to whether in 5 years, 5 years specifically was the timeline I give, we think there will still be keywords to bid on. And actually a high percentage of people says that no, we are not going to have keywords in the next 5 years. Like, let me see what the up-to-date measurement is. We've got 86 people that voted, 69% of people going, nope, we will not be able to bid on keywords. So yeah, that's an interesting one to look out for. And Julie continues, and first party data is still being pushed hard, but I expect that to come under privacy fire too. Not as quickly, but it will. Sam as well says, yeah, I don't think it is that simple, and the broad discourse needs to fundamentally change. There's so much nuance in everything from data to audiences to targeting that we need to rethink the vocabulary used. James Vibodo goes, yeah, I hope not. He gives an emoji of cross fingers. Broad severely lacks nuance and context for many marketers. I agree. Broad is not specific enough, does not really take intent too well, I think, into its prospect yet. Anyway, Julia Vice goes, the privacy thing is a real issue. Not all clients can or should upload data. And the natural next question is, doesn't Google know all this stuff already? They're the data folks. Nava goes, I have feelings about how much human bias influences results we talk about regarding Broad and Exact as well as PMax. Julie goes, Google is certainly floating the idea of tell us your goals and URL and let AI do the rest in their GML preview. Oh God, I'm scared about their GML thing. Nava Hopkins goes, the issue to focus on is that AI requires data and privacy puts a chokehold on data. Julie goes, I feel like I could just put AI in all my GML bingo square cards this year and be done with it. Don't worry, I will not do that. Yeah, because she does a bingo card every year, and literally we cross out the ones that they mention and how soon they mention it. Julie goes, consent mode is choking GA4 data too. This is a storm. That is a storm brewing. I'm working on a guest to come to talk to us about consent mode. Absolutely, because we don't get it yet. Tim Halloran goes, yeah, to Sam Tomlinson, RE broad advantage plus agreed. Yes, there's more to it. Context for reference, and he shares a link on YouTube. We have success with interest, broad, LLA, A+, RT, DPA, prospecting, DPAs, etc. God, I'm not sure what any of those acronyms mean. But we also have plenty of failures with those same strategies. Biggest variability is brand strength and creative impression. Nava as well says, but broad isn't inherently bad. It does a job like just like DSA and PMax can do that job. It's for us to decide who's qualified and put protection in place. Do you sometimes feel that maybe Nava is being getting paid by an AI company or like an automation tool or by Google themselves even? Because Nava is all, Google is great. They're doing no wrong. We are the ones that should change a client's mind about how much data they give us. And I'm like, really? Google caused the issue. Why aren't they the ones actually, I don't know, helping us to explain to the clients that, yeah, the data that we thought were real before aren't actually real anymore, so that when we actually give advice based on expertise and not data, it makes sense and the clients can accept it. I don't know. James Obodo as well says, so then, if they have all the data and know our stated goals, conversion metrics, and audience performance previously tied to those, why can't Broad reach our targets for some markets in the way that I know they can or should? I have a few current clients who can't use Broad because it can't get to the audience that converts for them without wasting a ton of dollars. James goes, yeah, continues. Sorry, a bit of a rant here. The Google Broad Kool-Aid isn't always sweet and tasty. Nava then explains, saying, yeah, Broad requires conversion thresholds to perform just like PMax does. Julie goes, Broad favors the non-budget sensitive advertisers because it does not currently use Broad to cast a wide net and then zero in on the right audiences. It keeps on casting Broad. And for some advertisers, that is fine. They are willing to spend to find it. Lots are not, though. That is the big divide here. And James goes, sure, but for years, existing date and years of uploaded offline conversion data haven't helped reduce the waste. And yeah, he gives a shrugging emoji there. And Jillian goes, yeah, and the thing is that Google knows that it's always difficult to justify wasted spend, but they keep placing PPC managers in this difficult position. Nava then goes, yeah, she explains the frustration. Wow. all this while, I felt like Nava is just like going, everything is great. You know, Google are great. Meta are the only like, you know, nervous one, but everyone is great. But she now goes, my main frustration is that we're all so used to it being bad that we built in the bias in looking at results or structuring, not to question it well, giving it a budget to hang itself. James goes, yeah, again, I'm just ranting about a specific few clients. And then, yeah, Julie goes to Nava as well, saying, I think part of it also is that all of the other match types are much more broad in their performance. So what used to be the role of broad, cast that wide net and see what happens to find new pathways to potential customers is already happening on other match types. I think if Google Ads were really smart, they would actually rename the keyword matching type, start from scratch. And yeah, if you see my blog on themarketinganu.com/blog, which is also the Paid Search Plus Pulse, I'm rebranding it to the Paid Search Pulse. Please check it out. I talk about how somebody saw like a varied amount of match types, like literally maybe like 9 or 10 different type of match types under the search term reports. And it made my eyebrow raise going, ooh, is Google thinking of introducing new match types? Please, no, we're just about dealing with the one we have right now. And then, yeah, Robert Brady goes, aren't negative keywords the way we tell Google or Microsoft they got it wrong? I feel like they already have the data, but aren't learning from it. Nava goes, not really. There's more to broad match than semantic matching. Part of it is landing page signals, i.e. a bad landing page could give the wrong signals. Also, audiences play a role too. And Julie goes, I have been asking for bad match feedback tool for at least 10 years. If we have to let the machines do so much, at least let us help teach them better. And then finally, we have Sam going, I'm actually doing an experiment with this plus schema. I think Google pulls a lot of matches from the page's structured data. On that note, we come to the end of our chat today. That very interesting chat about, yeah, talking, how are we talking to our clients and prospectives, and you know, in terms of explaining confusing and confounding things. I think this is one of those chats where, you know, from the expressions of the experts, you realize that you're not alone with your frustration. You're not alone with, you know, being confused as well in terms of when trying to explain something that might be confusing to a client. So I hope you found that useful. I hope you've taken some great takeaways from that. And, you know, if you want to continue that chat, we are going to be back on Twitter Spaces on Thursday, 5 p.m. GMT. So join us for that. So yeah, it'd be great to have you on there if you have more to say or if you want to hear more about ways people are finding this conversation quite confusing. And yeah, so if you have found this podcast useful and you know you've listened to it every week or you've just listened to it for even just a few seconds, yeah, please go to linktree.com/ppcchat_roundup to leave a rating or a review. Or if you have something specific you want to tell me about, any feedback about the podcast, please find me on The Marketing Anu, or whether you search for that on LinkedIn, or find me on Twitter as well on the handle at The Marketing Anu. And yeah, remember, we've got in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be in Brighton. PPC Live is going to be in Brighton, and the tickets are only £34. You know, I hate to make the comparison here, but even though they've been really great to us, but like Brighton SEO tickets are about £300, I feel, at least. So are the likes of WTS. Mine is only £34, and that's the full ticket price. We've closed our, early bird ticket sales. So yeah, it is now £34 to come. And if you're going to be at Brighton, please come the night before for a lovely pizza party. There'll be 3 speakers. They'll be talking about AI. They'll be talking about shopping and retail media. And we'll be talking about, you know, trying to get more data if you have low budget, if you feel like you have low volume, how to really expand on that. That is from Nikki, and she got a fantastic support and feedback about that at SMX Munich. So you want to check that out as well. So yeah, please go to ppcliveuk.com to get tickets for that. ppcliveuk.com for your £34, only £34 tickets. Finally, remember, for your campaigns and businesses to glide smoothly, there's a lot of hard work needed beneath the surface. So keep your swans kicking. Bye, and speak to you next week.